Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Thank you, Alistair, and the team leading us. Won't you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 8 to verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. This is what the word of the Lord says. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Oh Lord, please speak to us, speak to our hearts. I pray that your word will really minister to the hearts that are here this morning. Help me, Lord, use me for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a word that I've been trying to stall in my children, and sometimes we are playing soccer in the afternoon and maybe one of them is keeper and they keep getting scored and they want to give up, and then there is a word that I keep saying to them, and then eventually they kind of got that word, and so there's a message today for you from Luca. Let me show you. Listen carefully. It is in Portuguese, sorry. Persevere with a finger. Persevere. Persevere. That's my message for us today. So in our text, we see that Paul starts by saying, I don't want you, brothers, to be unaware of the affliction we experienced. And now, I want you to take a close look to the words that he uses here. Utterly burdened. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. So now we don't know to what exact scenario was Paul referring to that happened in Asia. Some commentators point out to Acts 14 where he's stoned outside of the city. Some point to Acts 19 where there is a mob that want to really get hold of him because they are seeing him as going against the Greek gods of the city. And so there is a whole mob. Some think maybe that's what he's referring to. Some think that he's referring to something else that Luke didn't even record. Regardless of the exact event that happened in Asia, Paul's point here, he wants to express something. He wants to express what he went through. And what he went through was a massive affliction. He was utterly burdened. Another translation translated like this: we were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength. We even despaired of life. We even despaired of life. We were utterly burdened. We even despaired of life. Now, can you think about what Paul is saying here? He got to a point that he didn't want to live anymore. This is the great apostle Paul. This is in your Bible. And I think we must not rush or be ashamed of this statement. And it points to a reality that sometimes we just kind of put it down. But the reality is that life is tough, and Christian life is really tough sometimes. That is not a fairy tale. The word despair there means to be utterly at a loss. Paul was feeling, this is it. I don't want to carry on living. This is too much. Can Christians feel this way? Is that allowed? We have been going through a series on depression. Christians get depressed too. And many times we think that Christians cannot get to that point, that it is it's sinful to be overwhelmed. But that's not true. He doesn't end there. He carries on to say, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. And the language he uses there is, you know, we don't have the death penalty. But you know what it's referring to. When someone is sentenced to death, that's how he felt. He said, this is it. I am so overwhelmed. This is too much. It's beyond my strength. I'm going to die. This is it. This is my sentence. Death is the sentence. I don't know if you have heard that there's a popular kind of saying, God won't give you more than you can handle. Have you heard that? It's not true. It's not true. Paul says there, beyond my strength. He couldn't handle it anymore. That statement is done, I think it's confused with temptation. The Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that you won't be tempted. But he will be beyond he's going to give you an open door so that you can resist the temptation. So it's different context, temptation. But here is Paul is completely, utterly at loss, feeling like he's going to die. He's overwhelmed and in despair. And by the way, he's not the only one. We see other characters in the scripture. Moses saying, Lord, take my life. And Elijah saying, this is it. This is too much. He despaired of life itself. It got too much. I was debating whether I should do this or not, but I'm going to make it a little bit uncomfortable, okay? I want you to close your eyes for a second, okay? Just close your eyes, and if you are right now really struggling, put your hand up. Right? Really struggling regarding anything. If you are struggling at the moment, put your hand up. You can put your hand down. You can open your eyes. There is burdens that we carry. And just to say, those that put your hand up, you are not alone. But although Paul went through unbelievable burden, he felt like he was going to die. He despaired of life itself. It was not in vain. There was a purpose on it. There's a purpose in the despair. Look at verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So Paul realized in his state of hopelessness, when he was in despair, when he felt at a complete loss, God taught him something of immeasurable value. And isn't it often like that, that God often really speaks to us when we are in our suffering? He says that it was not to make us rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul is saying that this state of hopelessness led him to realize that he was relying on himself. Commentator puts it like this: suffering breaks the stubborn spirit of self-will inside of us that insists on working things out on our own. Suffering forces us to lean on the Lord absolutely. Basically, he got to that state of so much burden that he realized, I can't do it. I cannot do this. He was convinced that even if the outcome of the afflictions would mean physical death, he realized, well, God raises the dead. Spurgeon. Tim was right. He's quoted often. If I die, what matters it? God can raise me from the dead. If they stone me, if they smite me with the sword, if they fling me headlong into the sea, I shall rise again. I know that my Redeemer lives and that I shall see him when he appears. So we have this tendency of just relying on ourselves. And Paul realizes there's someone that is bigger, that even if I were to die, even if this sentence is true, that I am going to die, God, who is bigger, he can raise the dead. And our default mode is to rely on ourselves, isn't it? We put our trust in the strength of our hands, in the intelligence of our brain, on our skills, in past experience, and we trust those things. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book Spiritual Depression, he points something out that is really, really helpful. It's really insightful. Look at what he says. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Now think about that for a moment. He said, take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. And so in light of this, he goes on to say, this other man within us has got to be handled. Do not listen to him. Turn on him. Speak to him. Condemn him. Upbraid him. Exhort him. Encourage him. Remind him of what you know instead of listening placidly to him and allowing him to drag you down and depress you. So we are often just listening to yourself. The thoughts come back and this comes back And he's saying, you need to be talking to yourself. And this is actually what we see in the Psalms. Look, Psalm 42, great, great psalm. He asks this question, why are you downcast, O my soul? Who is he talking to? He's talking to himself. Hey, my soul, Isaac, why are you feeling down? Put your hope in God. Isaac, put your hope in God. I will yet praise him. He's talking to himself. Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him. But he holds on to a promise, to a hope. Look at verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Deliverance came. He said, well, the Lord delivered us. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. So he recalls that the Lord had delivered him in the past. And in fact, this in verse 10, you see all three tenses, past, present, and future. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us now. And on him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again, future. The Lord is faithful. He has helped in the past. He has delivered in the past. And he's saying, I'm going to trust that he will help and deliver again. I think we have short memory. We have short memory. We go through a deep, tough time, and then the Lord comes and rescues. And then you give testimonies of, wow, what an amazing deliverance from the Lord. He helped me and he saved us. And then further on, as we continue, we come, and so often it's so similar, to such a similar experience. And then we start freaking out again. Isn't it? I know this happened not so long ago. Melissa and I, we were going through, I can't even remember exactly what it was. It was something to do with finances. I don't know if the wheel of the car broke. Anyway, we were on a tight spot, but we had previously gone through a tight spot and just seen the Lord come and help us, and then we kind of promised each other, we're going to remember this. We're going to remember that the Lord is faithful and that he always provides. And then we get to this point, like, oh, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? And then the Lord helps us again. And it's like, we said we weren't going to do this. We said that we were going to remember what he did for us. So as the tough time comes and doubt arises in our hearts, remember his faithfulness in the past. It is the Lord who delivers. But then he says in verse 10, on him we have set our hope. On him we have set our hope. What else can we put our hope in? What other source will be unfallible? Th- trying to think about, like, what else could you completely trust that it would not fail you? You and let's just be honest, like, whether it's your health or maybe your retirement annuity. Is that the right word? Your retirement investment and all of that. You know, what just happened in Brazil, there was a big scandal where they took the retirement annuity of all the of the employers. And it's a big case, and it's like, they thought that was safe. What else can we put our hope in? Who else, even the most beloved brother in this church, even Isaac with a smile, although he has good intentions, sometimes he's going to fail you. Sometimes we're going to fail. But on him, we put our hope. In him, we set our hope. So you that are struggling today, that you feel weary and heavy laden, cast your burdens upon Jesus, for he cares for you. You can put your hope in him. Jesus does not fail. You can trust him. You can put your hope in him. Maybe you're thinking, why? See, Jesus, on his way to the cross, he was utterly burdened. He cried out to the Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. He sweat drops of blood. He was crushed. He received the full wrath of God. He was on the cross being crucified, and he even mentioned he could come, he could call a legion of angels to come and rescue him, but he did not. He stayed right unto the end for us, for you, so that you can have hope, so that you can put your burdens upon him. On him we set our hope. You can trust him. In fact, you must trust him. Put your hope in Jesus. Repent of your self-reliance and put your hope in Jesus. The last verse, he gives us some very practical thing, but that we can sometimes overlook. Pray. Pray. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Now, here's interesting. Did you notice there that he says, for the blessing granted us through the prayers? Sometimes you may think, I've heard this question, why pray if God is sovereign? If God has decreed what's going to happen, why pray? Well, the reality is that God ordains both the means and the ends. And so there are things that God has set for you as a blessing, but that will only come through the means of prayer that God has also set for. And so we can call out to God, we can cry out to God, we pray and we recognize God's sovereignty, but the Bible tells us that he does hear our prayers. He listens to our prayers. And so there are blessings that God is going to only give you if you pray for them. There are things that God is going to give us regardless. He is sovereign. But pray, pray. Bring your burdens to Him. Pray. And so, my last point is this. The way that Lucas said. Persevere. 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 Share your burdens. Firstly, to God and to others. Paul starts this section saying, I don't want you, brothers, to be unaware of the afflictions. What is he doing? He's sharing his afflictions. He's sharing what happened. So share your burdens. Remember God's previous faithfulness. Put your hope in Jesus and don't give up. Persevere. Even as you are completely overwhelmed, persevere. Persevere. He carries us. He carries you. When you feel completely at loss, when you feel like there is no exit, you have come to the point to realize, I can't do this by myself. I can't. Lord, I can't. Help me. And so, persevere. I was sharing with the interns on Tuesday. We had a time together. I believe it's tradition. The past interns told us there is a tradition that you supposed to go and do a hike, reading the songs of ascents, and praying and going through all of that. So I'm like, okay, we will do that as well. But as we were sharing, I was mentioning to them one of my favorite verses is Philippians 1:6. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. We persevere not because we can. It's because He carries us. He will bring it to completion, even though it's up and down, and it's times where you feel crushed and times where it's really great. He will bring it through. He will present you blameless at the end of the day. In Him we set our hope. So brothers and sisters, persevera. Persevera. Let me end with these words of the song that we're going to sing just now. Though this heart of mine is prone to stray, give me grace enough to finish. Till I worship on that final day, I set my hope on Jesus. Oh Lord, we turn to you because you are the one that delivers us. You have been faithful in the past, and you will deliver us again. I pray for those that right now are in this season of heavy burden. Those that right now maybe are feeling like Paul, feeling utterly at loss, burdened beyond their strength. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help them, that you would deliver them, that you would fill their hearts and minds with that peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help us to persevere in hope, to look to you. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.